Welcome to The Sad Bastard. I'm Dave Tarnowski. And it's been a motherfucker of a week. My mood shifted from sad to upbeat, back to sad to angry, to hopeful for a minute, and then back to anger with a dash of self-loathing. Being bipolar is a fucking roller coaster. And no matter how much more I understand myself now, how much better I feel now that I'm on the right combination of medication, I still can't control certain things. And maybe I'll never be able to. At least not fully. I can notice when these things are happening more often, but that doesn't stop me from feeling them. From acting out. From letting my emotions get the best of me. From letting the thing that's wrong with my mind completely control me. Weekends are tough, which is ironic since I always look forward to them during my Monday to Friday gig. Then I get to them and I'm all alone with myself and my mind. And that's what I've decided to devote this episode to. My fucking mind. My best friend, my worst enemy, the source of all my creativity, the container of all of my hard-earned wisdom and all of my suffering, the keeper of all of my memories, and the thing that torments me with those mental movies. Like Alex in Clockwork Orange, only I'm both the patient with his eyes pried open and the doctor torturing him with horrible images to keep him from doing those things again. I'd much rather be a character in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, just erase the memories, both good and bad. But would that cure me any more than the experiments on Alex cured him? Or would I be destined to make the same mistakes again? Because I am who I am, and my mind is how it is. And my experiences, those memories, have taught me things. They changed me. I'm no less of a mess, I'm just more conscious of that mess now. The only real difference now is I understand what makes me do the things I do, while I do them anyway. And the thing is, no matter what they are, no matter who else is involved, I do them all to myself. I've been getting a lot of submissions from people on Instagram lately, asking pretty much the same thing. I received all of the following in one day. Hussein wrote, "Is it difficult to be with someone long-term if they have bipolar, anxiety, depression?" Paulina wrote, "My boyfriend has depression. How do I help him?" And Paula wrote, "Depressed friend hasn't answered in a month despite me reaching out. I've pushed away everyone I've ever cared for over the years at one point or another. Partners, family, friends. All because of my mental illness. My almost complete lack of control over my emotions. Not always because I wanted to. Often I've pushed away people I've liked by being too eager. By wanting to talk to them all the time. By being needy. That's the manic part of me. The easily excited part of me. The hopeful part of me. And also the easily hurt part of me. I can spiral into a depression if something that gives me hope turns to dust. When something that I want, that I think I can have, that could make me happy, ends up being beyond my reach. But there are times when I get into something or someone, and then completely lose interest the next day. And as far as relationships go, I know I'm not always a treat to be around because of my mood swings. I've always tried to balance it out by being funny, being a pleaser, trying to make others feel like how I wish I felt inside. But then there have been long stretches where I couldn't even try, and so I'd withdraw. Quite frankly, I don't know how a lot of people have put up with me for as long as they have. But that's the part that I've been working on the most these days. Self-forgiveness, self-acceptance, self-compassion. I am who I am, and I need to embrace who I am, and love who I am despite the things I do and how I am. Just as I need to accept how others react to those things. Everyone has their own shit that they're dealing with. And I've been with partners who have had their own struggles with mental illness. I help them through their struggles with as much love and compassion as possible. It is so hard to not think it's about you. And the worst thing is to make it about you. Even though I know what I've been through and how, say, depression has affected my mind, it affects everyone in different ways. And some people can power through it better than others. I tended to fall into a darkness that I couldn't pull myself out of. The sadness ushering in self-doubt. Fear taking over. Fear leading to anxiety. Leading to panic attacks. Leading to anger. Anxiety and depression are just one side of the coin. A lot of people think they're on opposite sides, but they're twins, working together to bring you further into the darkness. The manic side I don't mind so much. That's when I'm the happiest. I have energy, motivation, ambition. I believe in myself. Life is good. I get excited about life. Sometimes overly excited about things, like I was saying earlier. And sometimes it's with someone who also suffers from mental illness. Sometimes it's with someone who is bipolar. I can be manic and they can be depressive, or the other way around, and the two will not mesh. So one of us will run and hide. It's incredibly difficult to navigate. So helping others with mental illness is a very tricky thing. But it's all about compassion, understanding, giving us space when we need it, and being present when we need you. Dana wrote, "Have you ever dealt with physical pain caused by mental illness?" Dana, mental illness manifests itself in many ways. I've had the shits from anxiety, leg pain, chest pain, headaches, nausea. The pain from depression can be worse than any physical pain I've ever been through. The anguish of loss can be almost unbearable. Over the past 8 months, I nearly ended my life many times because the pain was so severe. But I'm filled with more hope than pain now. I'm excited about my next chapter. And I know fully well that will change. I will always go up, and I will always come crashing down, often within the same day. Lately, however, perhaps due to making a lot of progress and moving on, and perhaps the medication, probably both, I've pulled myself out of them quicker. It used to feel like I'd be happy for 5 minutes and then fall apart. But I've realized that I had to let go of that old version of me, that old story. Just as I had to let go of a fairly new story. For many months after getting diagnosed, I identified myself as bipolar. But I had to get past that and understand that it's a part of me. It's not my whole story. I'm still Dave. I didn't change into someone else when I got diagnosed. I learned more about myself and why I am the way I am, why I do the things I do. But there's still free will. And I know I can have it so much worse. Like, I have no idea what the life of a schizophrenic is like. But I'm sure as shit that I have it better than that. Even if what I have is terrible. People always tell you to be thankful for what you have because others have it so much worse. And I used to say, I know that. But they're not me. I'm the only person who's living my life, so fuck them. But lately I've become a lot more thankful for what I have. I've come to understand gratitude. And maybe that comes from loss. And the acceptance of that loss. This is something I couldn't have said even 2 months ago. Something that wasn't even a thought at the end of last year. Maybe it has a bit to do with something else happening in my life right now. My grandmother, who is 95, and hopefully will live to see 96 in July, has had a couple of strokes recently. I know she doesn't have much time left, and the time she has will not be the best. I mean, talk about perspective, right? When I think about my woes, they are nothing compared to hers, let alone my aunt who cares for her, or my mother. I mean, that's their mom. The hell they are all going through right now is something I don't even want to think about. I know we're all mortal, and we are all going to lose people we love, and maybe they will lose us first, you never know. But this has made me think of myself last year, and many times over the course of my life, when I thought often about suicide. I want to live now, and I think I always have. I've never actually attempted suicide. Though I used to try to kill myself the long and slow way with drugs and alcohol. I mean, sure, I'd consider jumping in front of trains or out of windows or off roofs, or even plunging a pair of scissors into my throat. But underneath it all, there was a hope propelling me forward. Hope that kept me living every day, even if often I was just coasting through my life. Yes, life can suck. Big fucking donkey balls. But it can also be great. Even with mental illness. And I know I have a choice in the matter. As long as my body is healthy, I can carry my mind and my emotions. I can deal with the darkness. As I always say about suicide, and I know it's the reason why I've never done it. There is no hope if you're dead. So I am grateful. I am very grateful. Am I where I want to be? No. But I'm here. Living. Which gives me the potential to be where I want to be one day. Wherever the fuck that is. All I know is I want to be more happy, more often. This next submission comes from Ida, who wrote, "Trying to overcome my triggers. It's hard. I should just learn how to live with them, but I don't know how." Dear God, Ida, I have so many fucking triggers. One of the things that triggers me the most is texting. You know those texts that you want to send, but you know you shouldn't? So you wait a little bit, and then you fucking send them anyway? Whenever that happens, I almost invariably get the response that I dreaded the most. Because time and time again, anytime I've done that in the past, it's what always happened. I knew ahead of time what was going to trigger me, but I did it anyway. I always hope that the people on the other side are going to feel the same exact way that I do. And when they don't, I get disappointed. and then that leads to depression. It makes me feel like I'm completely alone in the world. Whenever I reach out to my ex to connect with her, because I miss her, I always end up fucked up for days or weeks on end, especially if she doesn't write back. Or if I text something vulnerable and she's like, yeah, you too, whatever. Or worse, she writes a long text reiterating again that it's over, which I fucking know and isn't the point. I just want to connect with a person who was there with me for years and can't understand that she doesn't live there anymore. Yeah, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. It's also the definition of someone who is pathetic. In the immortal words of Thom Yorke, you do it to yourself, it's true. And that's what really hurts. You do it to yourself, just you. You and no one else. Lydia wrote, I can feel a breakdown on the horizon, and I have no clue how to deal with it healthily. I totally get you, Lydia. I'm there right now, as a matter of fact. The past few days have been really tough. I had a bit of a panic attack earlier, and a crying fit. Some days I'm totally fine, chugging along, even excited about life, and then I'm scared about everything. I just want to run and hide. I think about the past, times when I was loved and felt safe. It's all about missing other people because internally I'm just lost and alone. And I start with the should'ves and could'ves. Things I fucked up and can't change. And all I wish is to be able to go back. Especially when I don't have anything making me happy. Again, external stimuli. External validation. I can't be distracted all the time. Sometimes the distractions stop working. I have to just focus on myself. And if I'm miserable, then that's all I can focus on. Gratitude, like I was talking about earlier, is a wonderful thing. But there are times when I can't find anything to be grateful for. And those are the moments when suicide will float across my mind. I thought about it when I was crying earlier. The sudden onset of misery during a period of relative calmness can be worse than a steady flow. Because I thought I was fine. These are completely irrational moments, breakdowns. Pure emotion. And the emotions are going haywire. The best thing you could do in those moments is be kind to yourself. They will pass. I know in the moment they don't seem like they will, and staying calm seems impossible. But as the saying goes, you've survived all of your worst days, and you will survive what you feel is unsurvivable. I've had so many breakdowns since my ex and I split last year. I did not think I was going to get through it. Now I only have breakdowns here and there. But I know I will get through this breakdown and the next one, like I got through all of the previous ones. And you will too. Stay strong, Ida. Be brave. If I can do this, you can do it. Thom wrote, I feel like my life is just frozen. Nothing's happening and I feel creatively sapped. Thom, it's so easy to lose faith in oneself when the world feels hopeless. This pandemic with no end in sight has gotten most of us feeling like shit. But just look at the incredible album Nick Cave and Warren Ellis produced during this pandemic. It's mostly about the pandemic and everything that has happened the past year. This is a ripe time for creativity, if we can just get out of that lost feeling. In a weird way, I'm thankful for last year. As fucked up as 2020 was for me personally, and for the entire world, it changed my perspective so much when it comes to my life and how I lived it before, and how I want to live it going forward. Plus, this podcast started in 2020, and I'm so grateful for it and how writing these episodes has been the best way for me to work things out. Honestly, this has been better than any therapy I've ever had. I feel like I'm in a new chapter, and I'm going to be turning the page to the next one soon. So, Tom, if you feel frozen, try to get to the root of why you're stuck in the same place. Sit down and write out your thoughts. Even if the writing is crap, just do it. Force yourself to get unstuck. It's the only way. No one can unfreeze you but you. Valentina wrote, "I hate being alone, and I still miss the times with him every day and every hour." I totally get that, Valentina. Most days are better now, as I've really been doing well on the road to acceptance. I've taken a pit stop in anger most recently, but I think that's a good sign. I think I'm almost about to give up. I know that doesn't sound hopeful, but it is. Because you do. You do have to give up on false hope. And it's not just accepting that my relationship is over. It's been over. But it's that I'm embarking on a new life. And I need to. No, I am moving forward. I've been living in purgatory since last summer, and I'm just so fucking done with it. I hate this city. I'm excited to move forward. But I still miss her. I miss my best friend, my confidant, the person that I was closest with for my entire life. But yet, the problem was I wasn't close enough. I was never as open and honest with her as I've been in these podcasts or on Instagram. And I wouldn't be, had I never been with her. And had she not coaxed me to open up so much over the years. I'm just one of those stubborn people who only come around to things when it's their own idea. And often that's too late. My parents have been together for 52 years. 52 fucking years. Can't even fathom that. The longest I've done is 7. Twice now. Maybe I'll have a longer relationship in the future. Time will tell. But they all hurt like a motherfucker to move on from. And part of that pain has been growing. Realizing that I'm more than just a partner. I am me. You are you. And you need to accept you and love you for who you are and forgive your past mistakes. They helped you grow. Sometimes the only way to learn is to fuck up. Sometimes you need to fuck up the same thing many, many times. And you'll beat yourself up over them again and again. And then you won't. The lesson will be imprinted. The branding iron of past mistakes will have done its job, and the pain will subside. But the mark will always be there. So grieve, feel the feelings, and then then let go. It's easier said than done, I know. And it feels like it will never happen. But it always does. You will forgive yourself. The most important thing is to never forget. To never forget the lessons you learned. Well, that's all for this week. Thank you all for listening. As always, please subscribe to this podcast if you don't already. Rate, review, and share it with everyone you know who could benefit from it. And also follow my Instagram accounts, The Cave and the Bad Memes, Sad Peaks, Don Trooper, Mimi Bridgers, and the Sad Bastard Pod. On The Cave and the Bad Memes and Sad Peaks, I do daily Q&As where you can tell me what's on your mind, and I might reply on a future episode. I'll be back next week. Until then, be good to yourselves and others. You never know what kind of terrible shit people are going through.
Taking me down, my friend, as they usher me off to my end. Well, I bid you adieu. Well, I'll be seeing you soon. What they say around here is true.